In that last and that one stanza, we sing about thy righteousness and thine alone. That is what we're dealing with in the pericope for this evening from the book of Galatians. We're looking at Galatians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul is dealing with the error that was being brought into the church assembly by the Judaizers. Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place to subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they are, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I always also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Our text is verse 20 and 21. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word again this evening. Beloved, there in verse 20, we have a beautiful doxology, isn't it? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And notice how personal it is. The Apostle Paul earlier was talking about we. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. But now he goes from the plural, the inclusive pronoun, to I. I build again. I destroyed. I make myself a transgressor. I, through the law, am dead to the sin, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And it goes on. And as Paul there makes it very personal, may you and I also make this confession personal. Put your own names in here, Abby and Geis, and each of us as God's children. Paul is shouting his confession. He is shouting that confession over against the Judaizers. Over against those Judaizers who were troubling the church. They were trying to save themselves by boasting about the works that they also did. So there at Antioch, they were divided in two different groups when they came together. The Jews all by themselves and the Gentiles left all to themselves. They were dividing the church of Jesus Christ. Even as some divide the church today. What a contrast. Over those who want to boast about their works, the Apostle Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit that enabled the Apostle Paul to make this confession, and it's finally the Holy Spirit that is speaking these words so that we can make those words ours this evening. What a confession. Our identity with Christ. So notice with me then, a wonderful personal confession. Our identity in Christ, our personal faith, and thirdly, the basis for it, God's everlasting love. Our identity with Christ, a very personal faith, the basis, God's love for me. I am crucified with Christ. And the Apostle Paul uses here in Greek a perfect tense. The perfect tense says here is an action that was done in the past, but it has effects still in the present and continues to have effects. It refers there to that perfect sacrifice that Christ made once for all on the cross. When Jesus Christ paid for the sins of those who are his own. And when the Apostle Paul says, I was crucified with Christ, he is saying there, when Jesus suffered there and died on the cross, I suffered there and died on the cross. When Jesus suffered the wrath of God upon him, I was there in Christ Jesus. When Christ died, I died. Christ accomplished my salvation. Do you hear him from the cross crying out there, it is finished. The debt paid in full. The sin and the guilt of God's people completely blotted out. A blank page there. Paul is shouting that victory over against the Judaizers where they're talking about the works of the law. How was Paul crucified with Christ? And how is this true for us today, 2,000 years later, after Christ's crucifixion? Remember, I said we could put our own personal names in there. I have been crucified with Christ. And the answer is there because of the federal headship of Christ in relation to his people. Christ was eternally appointed by God the Father to be the head of his people. So that what he does as our representative. He does it with us in his loins. Christ so represented us so completely that what he does is done by us then in him. Let me give an illustration, young people. We have representatives in Lansing. We have Lansing, okay, I'm now in Indiana again. Okay, whatever the capital is here, Indianapolis maybe. We have representatives in our state capitals. We have representatives in Washington, D.C. I'm not saying I like everything they do, but they represent the people. That is, if the Congress says we're going to go to war, we are, as a nation, going to war. They represent us and they then lead the way. In that way, Christ is our representative. What he has done is on behalf of his people. He was crucified and therefore we were crucified. That is, our sins and our guilt were laid there on the cross and were taken away. And the work of Jesus Christ then is imputed to us, reckoned to us, so that his perfect obedience on the cross is reckoned ours, as if we had never sinned in our lives, but were completely blameless. That is why, in the scriptures, God can say different times, I see no iniquity in Israel. You say, well, how is that possible? Weren't God's people in the Old Testament so grumbling and mumbling and disobedient, serving other gods? And the reason is they were in Christ Jesus by faith in the blood that was shed and would be shed when Christ could come on the cross. God sees them in Christ without any sins. Christ's righteousness imputed to them. What is this doctrine of imputed righteousness? It is not merely that Christ is speaking as a lawyer for us and says, hey, Lord, Father, They have committed no sins because I paid for those sins. Yes, he is our lawyer also. He does plead our case before the throne of God. But the truth of federal headship is what he has done is given to everyone that he represents. That is what the Apostle Paul is dealing with in several chapters in the book of Romans, isn't he? I think a moment of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You and I had another representative. That representative was, first of all, Adam. And given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was a test, a trial. God came to Adam and Eve and said, there's two trees here. Freely eat of the tree of life. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou wilt surely die. Adam, as he stood with his wife Eve before those trees, represented all those who would be born to him in their generations, the whole human race. And as our representative, Adam said, I don't believe God's truth. I love the lie of Satan. I want to eat of the tree. After all, it looks good for fruit. It's pleasant to the eyes. Sin is always pleasant to the flesh. Adam ate of that tree, and God's death sentence came. Adam and Eve died. Now there are those who teach, oh, but God postponed that death by common grace, allowing them to live many, many, many years afterwards. No, there's no common grace there. Death entered into their bodies that moment. Physical death entered their bodies so that their atoms there started breaking down. And that's what happens when we get old, doesn't it? We start getting weaker and tired, aged, and we finally die. But it's not merely that physical death that entered immediately, but there was that spiritual death. They no longer felt like they were friends of God, but they are hiding from God. And that spiritual death would be an eternal death unless someone else is given by God to represent us and to right the wrong. We read in Romans chapter 5, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by the one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul continues that same analogy in Romans chapter 6. So how is it that the Apostle Paul is identified with Christ? How is it that we are identified with Christ? The answer is, through the federal headship of Christ Jesus. Adam failed, and he had to fail so that the greater Adam, the second Adam, might come. And through the way of sin, we know the grace of God. I have died, have been crucified with Christ. What a comfort. What a comfort for us as Christians. All Christ's accomplishments are imputed, are reckoned to us freely, graciously. Christ's righteousness is our righteousness. We read in Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 35 through 35, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And that's why the Apostle Paul is able to say, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." I am identified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And now the paradox. In our text, many are very perplexed when they read that. For the unbeliever, they surely would be. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." There's the glory of the gospel. We have died with Christ in order that we may be raised with Christ. There, beloved, is the heart of this text. We live. We live in Christ. Death is the punishment of God for sin. We were made in the image of God in order that we might know him and love him and serve him and live in fellowship with him. But that was all lost, wasn't it? It was replaced through Adam, so that instead of resembling God, we resembled the devil. That's what Jesus says to the Pharisees of his day, "You are of your father, the devil." In this life, we continue to carry that sentence of death over us, that is the physical death, because it's going to make way for that physical life that we have in heaven, where there is no sin or temptation or sickness or pain or curse. So there's a shout here. Your confession. "I have been crucified with Christ, and now therefore I live." I live in Christ. Notice the confession of Paul is not, "Someday I will have eternal life." That's wrong. The Apostle Paul says, not "someday I will live," but he says, "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live in Christ Jesus." As we were crucified with Christ as part of his body, therefore we are also raised with Christ in his resurrection. We are one with Christ. We are of his bone and of his flesh. By the abundant mercy of our God, we've been begotten unto a lively hope. One with Christ, we are the body of Christ Jesus. He is the head. And now notice what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I live this new life right now while I am still in this world and still in this sinful body and soul. Christ is ours. That life is given to us in regeneration. And it is a life that cannot be lost. God, who has chosen us, given us to Jesus Christ, gave Christ Jesus to suffer and die, now gives the Spirit to create that new life. For some of us, many of us, I believe, it is in your mother's womb already. It's called regeneration. That is the new heart that we have. That's the new identity that we have. If someone asks you, who are you? I ask you to give your surnames. That's not really important. And yes, you might say, I'm a wretched sinner. And yes, we are wretched sinners. But beloved, that is not your and my identity as believers. I am a child of God. I've been born again. That's what Jesus had to explain to poor Nicodemus. He could not understand how he must be born again. He must be born again by the Spirit. And then that new life is fed by God's Word. So right now in our flesh, while we live here on earth, we live in Christ. What does the Apostle Paul say about that? He says that our citizenship is in heaven, doesn't he? That we now, even though we're living here in this world, we are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Our life is from above, and we live in Christ Jesus. But then the Apostle Paul goes on, he says, he gives the connection. How is it that Paul died and Paul also lives? And the Apostle Paul says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ, as that organic head of the body, gives life to the body, gives life to you and me. So the apostle's confession is not merely that Jesus Christ died and rose again, but rather he was crucified with Christ, and also because he was in Christ eternally by God's decree, he was also raised with Christ there on the third day, that Easter morning. It is in the way of dying to self, dying to sin, that we live to Christ. And how is that possible? The Apostle Paul there is talking about faith, not works. By faith in Christ Jesus, we are justified. Not by our works. There in Antioch, when they got together, there were the two groups in the church. There were those Jews who were troubling the church, saying, yes, okay, we all believe in Jesus Christ, but besides believing in Jesus Christ, we're set apart because we're doing those works of the law. That is contributing to who we are. It makes us better than the rest. And they were really looking at the Gentiles and saying, they're not really like us. They're of a lower kind. It would almost be like the theology of the Neo-Pentecostals today. The Neo-Pentecostals today would say, yes, we're all believers in Christ Jesus, but then there are some Christians that become super Christians when they are given an extra portion of the Holy Spirit. The church is not divided between ordinary Christians and super Christians. The church is not to be divided by the false teaching that we are saved by Christ and by our works. But we are saved only by faith with the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as he came into this world and he completely loved his Father and therefore he obeyed his Father and he went there to the cross to suffer in our place, to make atonement by faith. Christ is our head. And what is this faith? Well, the Catechism very beautifully tells us what that faith is. It is, first of all, this binding of us, engrafting us into Christ Jesus. So that Christ Jesus is our head. Christ Jesus gives us life and gives us grace and strength to live as his body for his glory. Christ's righteousness, therefore, imputed to us, reckoned to us. That is the importance of Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6. And that is the importance of this letter that Paul had to write to the Galatians. The Judaizers were trying to introduce something into the church, Christ and works. The Roman Catholic Church tried to introduce that to the churches. We are saved by Christ and your works. Christ makes us righteous so that then we can, by our works, earn our salvation. The federal theology being taught, faith and works, is also dividing the church by bringing that damnable heresy. What is the gospel? I am justified. I am made righteous. I have life in Christ Jesus by faith alone, not works. What a beautiful confession then. May it be ours. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been raised with Christ, and therefore now I live in Christ Jesus. Brings me to the second point then. It's a wonderful confession, first of all, because it is so personal. It's so personal. The Apostle Paul could have said, speaking there to the churches in Galatia, we have been crucified and we have been raised. Excuse me. But he doesn't. Rather than saying we and us, boys and girls, did you count the number of times that the Apostle Paul, in our text and the verses right around it, makes it very personal? He says, I, me, to me, I. If you count there, that pronoun is there 13 times. How does he know? And why does he do that? Remember, he is coming there to the church that was bothered by the Judaizers. The Judaizers who are saying, yes, we believe in Christ too, but we believe in Christ and the works of the law also are necessary to be saved. And over against those Judaizers, Paul says, as it were, you can say whatever you want, but as for me, I am saved only by Christ Jesus, by the faith of the Son of God. Let me try to give another illustration of that contrast here. Joshua is given the leadership over the Israelites. Those Israelites who had served many different gods in Egypt as well as the true God. They were halting then between God and these other gods that they had learned about in Egypt. And then Joshua says, you choose. You choose whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here in the church of Galatia. He says, you've got your Judaizers who are saying, we're saved by Christ and the works of the law, but as for me, I want you to know I am crucified in Christ, and I've been raised with Christ, and I am justified by Christ alone through faith. And now I live in Christ, here in the flesh. When he uses that word flesh, he is not now talking about his depravity, as sometimes the flesh is referring to depravity, but here he is talking about here in this human body, here on this world. Even as the heart continues to pump blood to the different members of the body, even as we have to eat and drink things in order to sustain this physical body, in this physical body, I have the new life right now. I am a new creature. I am a child of God. By faith. Not some kind of mystical feeling that somehow comes upon you when you become old and then you say, yeah, now I can claim to be a child of God. How terrible for some of those different groups. I think of the... the Anabaptist, the Amish, the Mennonites. They would say it's a very hypocrisy for them to say as God's children, I'm a child of God. We can't know. And that is taught also by other Reformed churches, sadly. Through this life, you can't know if you're really a child of God. In fact, they tell their children they may even call God their father. They may say the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because you've got to wait. You've got to wait, and hopefully somewhere when you're 80 or 90 years old, and then you're going to have this mystical feeling, and now I could say, I had that feeling. That's not faith. That's not the faith. But rather it is a knowledge worked by the gospel and by the Holy Spirit. It is a knowledge of what God reveals about our salvation in Christ Jesus alone. And through that knowledge, I have an assurance that it's not only for others, but also to me. There is given by the grace of God forgiveness of sins, the very righteousness of Christ, and eternal life. That's what you're able to say, Abby and Geis, along with God's people. I now live by faith. The faith of the Son of God. The faith that is given to us in regeneration. That faith that is strengthened in us under the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. A saving faith whereby we are engrafted in Christ and we draw our life from Him. A living bond. Now already in our flesh. This bodily life doesn't prevent that. And our depravity does not prevent that new life, that new heart throbbing in us. While we have to deal with the depravity of our bodies and our souls, we're given a new heart where throbs the love of God in Christ Jesus. And we love Him and we live for Him. Ephesians 2 verse 6, He hath made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. even while we're living our life here on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are sitting with Christ because Christ is there on the throne. He's our head. Ephesians 2, verse 14, we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Philippians 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. So while we live now here on in the earth, we also live in heaven. Our head is there, and we are united to Him. We have our life in common with Christ Jesus. Oh, how is that possible? How is it possible that you and I, who were totally depraved in Adam because of his sin, how is it that we have been crucified with Christ and have been raised with Christ and now live in Christ? And the Apostle Paul gives the answer. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's the answer. The basis for this transformation, the basis for this new life that we have in Christ Jesus is God loves me. A sovereign, eternal life. Where God chose us before the foundations of the world and gave us to Jesus Christ. Where He sent His Son down to the world in order to suffer and die and atone for us. And now by His Spirit applies that to us. Yes. You ask, does God love me? I had a dear saint who questioned it. She had a troubled youth. She had a hard time that anyone loved her, let alone God loved her. And I said, dear sister, look to the cross. Did Jesus Christ love me? Does God love me? He gave His only begotten Son. As the Bible says, this was manifested the love of God, that He gave His only begotten Son. What is the basis for our new life in Christ Jesus? Christ came into this world. Christ manifested His love for us by willingly coming down in order to stand in our place. Jesus Christ was born in our flesh in order to die in our place. What a love. What a love to poor, miserable, wretched sinners like you and me. Even as Adam was clothed by God by skins of animals, by the way of blood that was shed, the Old Testament saints looked by faith through the blood of those animals to the blood of the one Lamb of God that would be slain for us. And you and I, by faith, now look back. I am a child of God. I am given new life. Christ lives in me. How? Because Christ loved me and died for me. In Him I have atonement. In Him I have pardon of all my sin. In Him I have cleansing. In Him I have eternal life. A life that nothing can take away from me. As the Apostle Paul says there in Romans 8, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing in this life, not death itself. What a beautiful confession. Over against those Judaizers who are saying, yes, Christ and something that we do. Christ says, I have been crucified. I now live. I live in Christ and Christ in me. You and I, boldly confessing the scriptures, we say, nothing of my works. That's not how I'm saved. My works are necessary. They're the fruit of what Christ is doing in me. But I am saved. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Father, we thank thee for this beautiful personal confession of the Apostle Paul. How the Holy Spirit gave that confession into the mouth of the Apostle Paul in his day, and how the Holy Spirit puts that same confession in our mouths today and to be lived out every day of our life till we are called home to glory, when there will be no more sin, but in body and soul, in the new heavens and the new earth, we will live with Christ forever. Receive our thanks, Father. Help us to live out this personal confession. Amen.